We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio. At 5:45, we'll have Triple Option where we'll give our top takes on the top stories in sports. We have a texter on the line. He asks, Mike and Charlie explain the hip drop tackle. Now, the hip drop tackle, my thing is, if you're out in the open field and you're trying to make that tackle and you initially hit him waist near the hip, and then your kind of weight takes you into their lower body, and you're using the hips and the body to try to get that opponent on the ground, and it's a bit of a swivel. We saw this with Mark Andrews, who had an ankle injury because of it. Pollard, same thing with the Cowboys when he was there. And so, man, I wouldn't want to play defense, but it's basically the initial hit goes waist and around the hip, and then you drop your weight to try to get that individual down. You get somebody's ankle caught underneath you, that sort of thing. My thing is, I don't see how you can make a tackle if the defender doesn't end up with his hips and his body on the ground, unless you're knocking them and they're standing straight up. It's a real difficult deal. I get it. It's a safety issue, but basically it's an initial hit of waist, hips, and then you drop your weight to try to get that guy down. It's difficult because now this is going to be left up to an interpretation Correct. Of a referee to make that call. We saw what happened with Mark Andrews with the Ravens, same thing with Pollard when he was in Dallas. But, man, that's something that if you're a smaller player trying to get down a bigger guy, it's difficult.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting to see how it affects tight ends. I mean, Mark Andrews was one that got hurt there. But if a tight end is in the open field and a defender's trying to chase him down, what are you supposed to do? Because this is the quote-unquote definition of the hip drop tackle via Ari Mayrov, a National Sports Reporter. Says, A, grabs the runner with both hands and wraps the runner with both arms, and B, unweights himself by swiveling and dropping his hips and or lower body, landing on and trapping the runner's legs at or below the knee. So just think about, I try to paint the picture with that definition there for people. Just think about a defender chasing down, let's say, a tight end in the open field. If you're tackling and wrapping up and drop, doing the quote-unquote hip drop, I think that's relatively natural. So what are you going to do? You're going to dive at people's knees now? Like, is that what the NFL
wants?
Well,
you're not going to be able to take him down by the waist. You got to go down.
You got to go to the knees, and that's not what – apparently the Players Association all unanimously opposed this.
Yes.
And the owners were the ones that voted for it.
Because they don't want to be held liable for an injury that could take away somebody's career.
Correct.
And it could happen. I'm not saying it can't, and you try to keep the game, I guess, as safe as you can be, but it is a violent sport.
Exactly, and you're trying to take away a pivotal defensive play, and that's what they're doing right now. I remember when they made the changes to landing on the quarterback. Like, you remember what happened with Aaron Rodgers when Anthony Barr crushed his collarbone. Okay, I understand that.
And even before that, Siragusa on Rich Gannon.
Yeah, back
where,
in the
I mean, and man, Goose was a big dude.
Right.
Falling on top of a 200-pound guy, and Goose at that point in his life, God bless him, he's passed away, but he was probably 360 pounds.
And you're looking at, you know, how that changed protecting the quarterback.
So exactly.
You're protecting offensive players with this new elimination of the hip drop tackle. But at the same time, as you mentioned, Mike, you're leaving it up to referees and how they just define the hip drop. Like, I gave you the automatic definition. But what happens when a guy wraps up at the waist and falls down and to tackle an opponent, but he doesn't necessarily fall under the knees? Do they still throw a flag? So that's what I'm like. You're adding more rules and more interpretation for the referees to control the outcome of a game, and I really don't like it.
I just don't see how a smaller guy can bring down a bigger guy and he doesn't end up with his body and his hips on the ground. Unless you can knock him standing up, that's not going to be the case. That guy's going to just drag you if you can't kind of fall back on it. And again, there have been some nasty injuries because of it, but it's part of the sport too. It wasn't like they were trying to hurt the guy. They were just trying to take him down. More and more now, they're going to force a lot of guys, and it's already that way, most of them want to play on offense to begin with, that they're not going to want to play defense anymore just because they got so many rules. You can't hit them high. You can't hit them low. Now the hip drop tackle, if you're a 195-pound corner trying to take down a 245-pound tight end out in the open field, that's a difficult tackle. If he's running and you got your hands and arms around him and it slips down to where your body weight kind of forces his ankle and knee under him and where you could sustain an injury, that's difficult. And again, we're getting close. I'll never forget, this was years back, Tombstone Jackson, Rich Jackson, who was one of the great players in the AFL. This was early 2000s. We're doing a throwback show, and so it's almost 20 years. Buddy D and I were doing it. He was like, it's getting to the point where Mr. Benson, Tom Benson, was still alive. He could play in this league because it's becoming almost like flag football. And it's getting closer and closer to that angle about how the tackle and everything else. But that's a difficult call. Now, again, how are they going to make that interpretation if you're a referee? And I've contacted the league, and they're going to get us a referee to come on with us to sort of explain what they'll be looking for. And basically in year one, it's more going to be about the fine, but in year two is where you're going to see the flag. It's got to be flagrant, I think, this year before they drop that flag on it. But Charlie, I don't see how. I don't see how you can make that tackle.
I mean,
if the defender doesn't end up with his hips and his body on the ground.
We got a bunch of texts coming in saying just put flags on them. And, I mean, you're getting closer and closer to that.
And another one brought up, man, Derrick Henry, he's going to have a field day with this. Can you imagine?
Well, I mean, if you're a defender, the only way, it's almost like the Gronk rule, right? To bring him down, go at his knees. And you know Derrick Henry, like, the Players Association unanimously opposed this. Once again, I'm sure offensive players didn't want it either. Like, you don't want defenders just diving at your knees.
One defensive player voted for this.
Yeah.
There's no way. Because it's hard enough to play defense to begin with. But now you got to be tackling these guys out in the open field. It's going to be really difficult. And, again, how they enforce that and what's the definition of a penalty and what's a fine?
Yeah, well, I mean, the 15-yard penalty, we just got a caller that I talked to a little bit. Yeah, ESPN has reported that this will, in fact, be on-the-field penalties if it happens. It's not just going to be, off-the-field fines for these players that will be reported on after the games. This could be, game-changing stuff. If it's, a third-down situation late in the game and you get a stop, but you get the hip-drop tackle and you get flagged for it, I'm really worried about how this is going to be implemented.
I think they're
going to
kind of stretch that rubber band year one. I think they're going to give them a little bit of leeway. But, man, that's going to be a hard interpretation tackle.
It's impossible to play defense now.
I never forget Rich Jackson talking about, man, it's getting closer and closer to flag football. And that was early 2000s. And, we in 2024 today, and it's getting closer and closer to it. When we come back, we'll have Blake Ruffino on from RU Sirius Network talking about the LSU Tigers football, basketball, baseball, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, You deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio. 545, Steve Geller will join us for a triple option on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line from the RU Sirius Network. Blake Ruffino covering LSU sports all across the board. Blake, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
What's going on, guys? How are we doing?
Doing great. Blake, you won't play defense today? No swivel, no swivel drop. Man, Blake, I don't really know, you know, because we got a couple people. Oh, it's the Players Association that wants this. No, they don't.
No.
They didn't want this. It's not the Players Association. This has to do with the owners. They don't have no liability involved with an injury involved. And we got one genius. Oh, they do this on purpose to hurt players. Come on. They're not doing this tackle to intentionally hurt someone. But I don't know how you're going to get people to play defense anymore, Blake. Well, we've out of our era doing that.
Mike, I just – you know, in football in general, whether it be college or NFL, I just don't understand, like, who is complaining about the rule? You know what I mean? Like, are fans complaining about what's going on? No.
Nope.
Okay, well, what's the issue? Well, it's owners that are paying millions of dollars to people that may get hurt. But, Mike, what are you supposed to –
I don't know.
I have no idea how you're supposed to tackle them. You can't hit them up top. You can't grab them from up top because it might be a horse collar or they will even attempt it. I mean, you get personal fouls for going, you know, close to the head or neck area, and some even if it's not intentional, Mike, I would never play defense. I mean,
I agree.
I don't know. I push you down, and if you don't go down, oh well. What do you want me to do?
This is getting closer and closer to flag football. I know we laugh about it, but it is getting pretty close to that. Blake, LSU football. From what you've seen on the defensive side of football, the differences that you had when Matt House is there and now with Blake coming in running his style defense, you still need some beef up front in the middle, and you're going to have to hit the portal for that the second period for it. But from a secondary standpoint, one of the things Charlie and I were talking about with Snead, him signing with the Titans, one of the things he did really well was he could get his head turned around. You see this mirror coverage. That's another thing. I don't get what they're teaching defensive backs. They're not get your damn head turned around quick enough. You mirroring the receiver. Well, we watching to see it with his elbows and his hands. These receivers now are so slick with how they quickly they get it up. They're not tipping you off at all. And it's why Snead's getting paid almost $20 million a year because he does know how to get his head around. The differences you see with Blake's defense and compared to Matt. And I think the first part of that will show up much more in the secondary.
Without question, it happened on Saturday, Mike, when we were out there. I think the safeties were the best unit by far of any position group. I think that, Mike, they are schematically going to have one free high, and you better be able to cover, buddy, because if you don't, almost said a bad word. Your rear end is going to get pulled like it did on Saturday. Mike, they're turning their head. I mean, Sage Ryan had three picks on Saturday. He read a quick slant. He read a post that the ball died on, Nussmeier on. They're in the box. Major Burns, Mike, in two team periods had three TFLs. The only issue really with the secondary that we have seen so far is what they've done at the boundary. Mike, they're getting eaten alive at the boundary. But when it comes to having Toviano, Sage Ryan, and Major Burns along with Jordan Gilbert on the field, Mike, they're running a very different style of what we've seen defensive-wise. I don't even know until we get to talk to Blake specifically what he would call it, but they have pretty much, Mike, four safeties on the field, really. I mean, they're using Harold Perkins in a lot of different unique ways, so I'll include him in that, but schematically, Mike, that's how they're using him. I do think that Jake Olson has done a really good job quickly, Mike, in just specifically how they're covering. Now, I don't know, after what we've seen over the first five practices, Mike, if Deshaun McBride from Denham is how you're going to keep him off the field. He is physically the most gifted dude that was out there on Saturday from the defensive back unit. But, Mike, the problem was they got absolutely run over in the running game. So, I mean, give or take that offensive line being really good, it is what it is. But, I mean, Mike, we talked about it last night on our show, but I'll mention it here. Yards per carry in team period one, 16.8. In the second team period, 9.9. Third team period, 12.7. And in the fourth team period, 11.1. All of those runs, Mike, came in the interior.
Good gracious.
They got busted up. But in coverage, they were a lot better. So take it for what it's worth, but they just got pushed around and manhandled up front, which negated what felt like what the secondary had done all day on Saturday.
Blake, one of the things that gets overlooked a little bit is, how are you going to make up that 1,100 yards rushing that Jaden Daniels got you? Okay. That to me, and I know Brian's always had this running back by committee stuff, and it's worked for him. And you know, Josh is going to get his carries, but to me, the guy there is Caleb. He's got to become the big-time guy and carrying a big portion of the load. And how are you going to win up front? Because you're not going to have that guy, that signal caller, that's going to make all those plays with his feet running the football. Not that Garrett can't make some, but he's not the runner Daniels is. So now you got to eat up, okay, who's going to get that 1,100 yards for you? I think that centers around Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I mean, look, Mike, I mean, you're going to have to come out there and see him for yourself. I'm not trying to put this on him, okay, but I don't know if he's not in some aspects what we've seen from Lenny. I don't know. Mike, they were tackling in the 14 period, like to the ground, let's get physical, let's get after it. He was bulldozing dudes on inside zone. Now, Mike, what I do think was interesting, okay, they did run some bootlegs under center out of that, but, Mike, he was running dudes flat over. Like, it's not where, you know, some team periods they're just touching him, you're down there, whatever. And the 14 period, they were getting after it. Mike, he had probably five or six broken tackles where he's just running dudes flat over. And there was one time Deshaun McBride met him in the hole, welcome to the SEC, young man, and then Perkins met him in the hole. Mike, he's running dudes flat over. So the question I have with him, Mike, not really can he run inside, can he run outside, what he can do. Ultimately, it's obviously going to be what he does in pass pro. He struggled. I got to say that. But him running the football, my goodness. I mean, he broke one for 30, Mike, on Saturday, that you're just kind of like, I don't know. Like, I mean, what should we take from this? Is the defense that bad, or is Caleb Jackson just that good? So, I don't know really.
You know, Caleb Jackson's that good. Caleb Jackson's that good.
That good. Yeah.
Charlie, I think he has a baseball question.
Like, I'm going to hop over. You know, you're looking at the spring football. The portal is going to be opening up soon. Just based off of what I'm hearing from you, when we were talking, I think, to Pete Jenkins about the Bo Davis signing and everything like that, one of the things he said was he's got his work cut out for him.
Because you don't have room, talent, don't have talent depth. That's what was his comment.
That room is bare. And so you're looking at the spring transfer portal opening up pretty soon. I mean, that's got to be the clear, you know, spot to take a look at, right?
Charlie, I'm going to say this. I've been going to practices for now. This will be my fifth year. I've never seen an LSU unit so depleted and bad that I've been this concerned ever. Like, I'm again, like, guys, I mean, 12.8, 14 or 16.8. I mean, we're talking like they're getting run over. And by the way, there was nobody. Preston Hickey, the walk-on, was the third-string defensive tackle. Nothing against Preston Hickey, but Blake Baker's losing his ever-living mind on the sideline, okay, because Preston Hickey has to go in. They are getting bullied. I don't think we can judge Bo, not only this year. I don't know if we can really look at him next year until he can really get some talent and people in there. It's not good right now. Another thing that's not been really great either has just been even them recognizing, so they've been shifting. So if they're playing to the wide side and there goes a motion, they're supposed to be shifting over, a lot like what we see from Georgia a lot. They're not even reading that stuff. And so they're not communicating on that. So I just don't know. I can't remember of a position group that had this least amount of talent at LSU. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they, but McKinley coming in, maybe Gabe Relliford can do some things. But they're having to put in guys like Dylan Carpenter in the inside at 260 pounds. Miles Frazier was licking his chops on Saturday when Dylan Carpenter and Preston Hickey got in there. They just don't have the dudes. Now, they offered one guy that's in the portal from Indiana. I would expect them to get at least two. I don't think that they have a choice. I like Jacoby, and I think he's a great young man, but I just don't know if he's enough for you right now.
Yeah, freshman playing along defensive line, but that doesn't normally add up well, Blake. Every once in a while you get a guy that can do it. But the physicality and your size and the speed is far different than what you've played at the high school level. And that's a big change. And I agree with you that, man, that defensive line fellowship is very concerning to me.
And you know what you have in Bo Davis. I mean, Bo Davis is an established, successful defensive line coach. It was a great hire. But they got to have some kind of talent on there. Like, coaching can only do so much when you don't have the players.
Mike, let me ask you this. Mike, have you ever felt that there was a unit at LSU that was this depleted, maybe ever, outside of maybe quarterback?
I was going to say the quarterback unit, maybe a couple years. I was really concerned about once you got past the starter and if something happened there, and then even questions about the starter. So that would be the only other time. But in today's world, and I talked to Coach O about this years ago and just recently too. It's easier to find, to me, a competent, really good starting quarterback than a defensive lineman.
Yeah, they don't go in the portal, Mike. That and O-line are the least amount of players that go in the portal ever. You know why? Because those big fat guys, we're loyal, man. That's why all the women out there listening need to get you a big chubby guy, because we're loyal.
That's a good way to put it, Blake. Blake, your thoughts on LSU from the baseball standpoint of the hitting has been so inconsistent.
It's a slow start, Blake.
And, could it be any slower? And now you're staring, okay, you got Southeastern tomorrow, but then you're staring at a series against Arkansas, arguably the best pitching staff in the SEC when you're talking about the starting units of concern. Man, I know it's early and things can change and everything, but the lack of hitting at crucial points has really shown up. Even Saturday, you get all these home runs, but nobody's on base.
They went 0 for 8 with runners in scoring position.
One run homers, when people on base, you can't get them through. That to me, I think, is a concern, and almost you can hear it in Jay Johnson's voice.
Well, you could definitely see it what he did on Sunday. Yep. I mean, Jay would have, even if they got warned, Jay never explodes like that. I think he's feeling it. I think the team feels it. Mike, Charlie, I have no idea how they win this weekend. Hagan Smith is probably the best pitcher in the country right now. I think it'll be a good duel between him and Luke Coleman, but he's the best pitcher in the country. I think Arkansas just has too much. Charlie mentioned they were 0 for 8 with runners in scoring position. Charlie, you can count me on this, or not count me on this, but two times I remember at least Saturday and Sunday where they hit in the double plays. Those are the things that just can't happen. So I don't know what Jay can do here. I mean, the roster is what it is, but they're just not hitting timely. I don't know if he does not run some of these freshmen out there. I like Paxton Kling, but his defense and speed does not make up for him going 1 of 24 in his last 24 plate appearances. The one hit he got was against Southeastern to win it. I understand that, but he is just an automatic out a lot of times when he's coming up to the plate. So we'll have to see what Jay does.
And I think another one that's kind of popped up, it's been really disappointing, Blake. I mean, Brady Neal has been ice cold at the plate. I mean, you mentioned Kling, and Kling has obviously been really struggling at times. But, Brady Neal, he's had those moments in games this year where he will just pop off and, like, have all this offensive production by himself. But then other times he goes on these slumps, and he's on one right now when they definitely need him in SEC play. And now it's not going to get any easier against, as Mike was talking about, that really elite Arkansas pitching staff.
You know, he reminds me a lot of what happened with Bear Jones last year. You know, Bear was in the lineup.
That's true.
And he was in the midweek. Bear Jones would hit a ball 507 feet like his name was Mark McGwire, and then he'd get in the weekend and he'd look like me. You know, I mean, so I think that, you know, Brady Neal getting hurt last year might have hurt him from an experience standpoint. I do wonder. You know, like how maybe he just needs the reps because you know that he has it. But, guys, I mean, Braswell's having to pick it up. And when he's getting on base, nobody's on. Like, you lead off with him with a double, and then you get three straight outs. You can't – those kinds of things can't happen. And I think that's why Jay has played a little bit of small ball here, because they've had to try to generate runs. I will tell you, if you do not average 7 runs this weekend – they're going to smoke you.
Yep.
Because it's not just the staff at Arkansas that's really good. Now they're starting to hit. So, guys, it might be 3 straight weekends where they don't win a series. So, and that stinks, and I get that. But I just don't know if I see an avenue where right now where LSU could go into Arkansas and win. Oh, by the way, it's not going to slow down because you got Tennessee too. And, by the way, Ole Miss doesn't stink. So it's a really tough road here, but they're going to have to figure it out, because if they don't, then, you know, it's just going to be a long season. But the only thing I'll say is Jay's not going to let this go long. If, you know, God forbid the season doesn't go well, I guarantee you that Portal King's going to come out in him.
Blake, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Do great work, buddy. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Blake.
Mike, thank you guys so much, man.
All righty. Blake Ruffino from the Are You Serious Network. We'll be back with Triple Option right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTellier along with Charlie Long in studio, joined by Steve Geller. It's our Triple Option feature. Steve, go to you first.
Well, gentlemen, after seeing the trade go down over the weekend between the Chiefs and the Titans sending L'Jarius Sneed to Tennessee for just a 2025 third-round pick, and then they swap seventh-rounders for this year. To me, at least, I'm going to officially say that the Marshawn Lattimore trade is dead. Dunsky, not going to happen. There's no way you move on from a guy like Marshawn Lattimore for a third-round selection. I just think it would be a waste of, obviously, your asset, and you're not getting enough back in return, so it just ends up not being worth it, unfortunately. And if that's the market right now, man, I'd rather hold on to a player like that.
Okay, I don't know all the insides, but I do know this. If you got any friction there, you know, you get that hammer and that nail, and you fix that fence. You know, you fix it. Because, man, I'm not giving him away for a third-round pick. No, he's much more valuable to my team. And also, you playing to the strength of your team. Right now, you'd have to say the strength of your football team's in the secondary.
I totally agree, right?
And so why am I giving away assets and hardly getting anything back in return for it? Charlie?
Guys, I'm going to go with Zion for this one. I saw, you know, that game against – that performance against the Detroit Pistons on Sunday was historic. It wasn't just great. It was legitimately fantastic. 36 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists on 13 of 14 field goal shooting, guys. He's the second player with a 35-5-5 game on 90% field goal shooting in the last 50 years via StatMuse, the only other guy, Nikola Jokic. So now you're looking ahead to the schedule that's coming up, starting with this game against the Thunder tomorrow night. The last time the Pels played the Thunder in New Orleans, they got smoked by 24 points. It was a total blowout loss, very disappointing, disheartening loss, 107-83. You know who did not play in that game? Zion Williamson. The first time they played around, Zion did play, and they won by four. So I'd look for Mr. Z to be the big kind of difference maker tomorrow night in the Smoothie King Center, where the Thunder are officially listed as favorites in this game, guys, to start the six-game homestand for the Pels.
Okay. You know, Charlie and I were texting one another. We see Brandon go down, and just that initial reaction was, oh, goodness.
Exactly, not again.
Here we go.
Right.
You know, even though when a guy's going to be down for a couple weeks or whatever, how long he's going to be down, it's not like you've lost him for the season, but the way this team has galvanized since, I think it shows a lot. Now, can they keep this up now in a really difficult stretch? And can they show everybody, can they play well at home? As good as they played on the road, they've been okay at home, but it's not been like it's dominant there. Right. And I think that's where they've got to kind of make their mark. I agree with you, though, Charlie. 3-3.
3-3. That's all I'm asking for. I mean, I wanted 3-1 with the road trip. I got what I asked for. 3-3 doesn't necessarily sink you. If you go anything worse than that, you're at risk of falling into the seventh spot. But I think 3-3 can keep you afloat at least the six. I know you got a couple teams on your tail, like the Mavericks, like the Kings, like the Suns. You have a couple games against the Suns, by the way, and a game against the Kings later on in this final 11-game stretch. 3-3 keeps you afloat. That's what I think.
We'll be back to finish it off here in our number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870 right after this break. We're finishing up here in our number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870. We talked about the swivel hip drop tackle and how that's going to be enforced and everything else. Tomorrow I'm interested to see, do they do an adjustment on the kickoff? Because they have talked about this for quite some time. Man, I love to watch the kickoffs. I think it's a part of the game that more and more, and I get it. I've talked to Carl Johnson about this, NFL referee. He said, Mike, you talk about violent collisions. You hear it on those kickoffs. You've been a sideline reporter.
Oh, yeah.
They got some sound and some hits coming off of there. How they adjust the kickoff rule, because I think there is an element to this game about the return game, winning the field percentage part, gaining you an extra first down or two. I want that to continue. I don't want them to eliminate the kickoff.
Well, hopefully we're not bringing out the flags just yet for next year, Mike.
I hope not. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.